This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker. Can I tell you what I miss, Ethan? I miss WikiLeaks. It's been so long since we've had a good WikiLeaks. I went to their website just to see if there's anything new. It's been since August of 2021 before something came out. Why can't we get the Epstein stuff on WikiLeaks? How come someone doesn't put it up on there? I'm saying this seriously because they used to be so cool with leaking these type of important documents of public interest around the world, and you would get to see things for yourself, and they were always true. The stuff that they were posting was accurate. WikiLeaks has been defunct for so long.
I don't really remember. I guess I was never really huge into WikiLeaks. It was probably more so prevalent when I was growing up, maybe middle school and high school. I don't remember ever anything big personally like coming out through WikiLeaks. What was like? Is there anything that comes to mind that was big through WikiLeaks?
The Hillary Clinton emails. That was a huge thing. Yeah. So now keep in mind Hillary Clinton. Oh, they got accidentally deleted, and we find out they like purposely tried to. The bleach bit was the big thing, so they went through some pretty big means to make sure this stuff couldn't get out there. But WikiLeaks had copies, and then that you found them also releasing. There was this big scandal overseas, not so much in the United States, but some really big names, billionaires and such, that were involved in this big fraud. So, you know, they were really on top of it for the longest time, and I kept thinking, man, if only WikiLeaks would put out the Epstein stuff, then we can all see it, and then we don't have to worry about this trusting Wall Street Journal garbage. Now, the Wall Street Journal piece that came out was like a 30-year-old birthday list or something. That was like what they're trying to determine if the names are on there or not. It's not enough. So that was just a random thought. I just wish WikiLeaks was still around. Can we play some more clips, Ethan?
Yeah, real quick. Also, Colonel Ripper on the YouTube stream saying that WikiLeaks got a bunch of stuff, by Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a big thing, too, either. So I don't know. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, Julian Assange, and I know they're still kind of fighting for it out there, but there really hasn't been much. All right, a couple other things I want to get to, which I thought was kind of interesting. Chris Matthews. And it's so funny because some of the different clips that we're playing, Bill Maher, the Raging Cajun, Carville, and Chris Matthews, these are people that have been around a long time. These are legacy style type of Democratic broadcasters. And you have Carville, who just refuses to believe the reality of the situation. Chris Matthews is someone that got the thrill up his leg. That was the big thing people played for a long time. But he did a little bit on Trump's appeal. Can we play clip number 3 for that one?
country is moving towards Trump. I think his strength is still greater than the Democratic strength. He is a stronger public figure than the Democratic people. I mean, Obama still has tremendous charisma, but Trump has strength. And I think that's what all voters look for. But they want a president who is a strong figure. And he's got it. And he can, you know, it's just there. And half the country buys it.
I'll tell you what, Chris Matthews sounds terrible. That's the first time I've heard his voice in probably a year. And I don't know if it's so much about him being a strong public figure. I think he kind of stands for these things that are just common sense things that the public seems to identify with, meaning, yeah, we kind of don't like this nonsense woke garbage that you've gone all in on. So you lost us. We're out of here. I think it's more has to do with that than, you know, I think Trump had the courage to go against some of these really popular things that a lot of even billion and trillion dollar corporations leaned into out of the fear that if they weren't for it, then their customers would be against them. But he kind of had the strength to say, we're not doing any of this stuff. He kind of does it his own way. And this is part of CNN, and they do the polling, and Harry Enten is normally someone that likes to break the news to the Democratic Party, at least as of late, quite harshly. Here's clip number 4.
We had that poll come out a little while ago on their net favorable rating. They were 26 points underwater. You think that's low enough? How about we go even lower? We'll go to this side of the screen. I'm going to walk over here. We go to the Wall Street Journal, minus 30 points, 30 points underwater. Their lowest on record. These polls have records going all the way back since the early 1990s. And when it comes to the Democratic Democratic Party's net favorable rating in both the Wall Street Journal poll and the CNN poll, the Democratic Party is breaking records in the way, Jessica Dean, you don't want to break records.
Can we just talk for a second on how he describes the 1990s? He calls them the 1900s. I mean, I would expect Ethan to say that because, Ethan, you were born, I'm guessing, in the 2000s.
2000, so, yes.
Yeah, I would guess that you would look at the 1900s as, oh, that was the before I was born, the century before I was born. But when he calls it the 1900s, I thought, man, who are you talking to, man? Your audience right now, like you're talking to a bunch of young, you know, 20-year-olds. As your audience is all old like you guys, and me too, for that matter. My back hurts just thinking about it. So, I mean, they're starting to have this realization. I think they realize this is their way to try to influence some of the Democratic lawmakers that you got to get off of this, you know, socialist track that you're seeing in candidates like in New York. So let's kind of nudge their way. I don't know if it'll work. Who knows? But it's kind of fun to watch, I would say. And I still give Bill Maher a lot of credit. All the times he was wrong, at least he comes out and will admit when he was wrong. So I do appreciate that. All right, we're going to do Sue's news, but in absence of Sue, let's do Ethan's news coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, looking forward to having some time to play with you a little bit more on 97.1 FM Talk.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Gotta say, Ethan, I'm a little disappointed. I really thought I would see more red in the camera, but
I feel like
maybe you really didn't get burned all that much over the weekend.
So what I'm hearing right now, Ryan Recker, I want to make sure I hear this correctly, is
yeah,
I'm a little bit disappointed that you're not suffering more on the surface than you really are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can hear it in your voice. Things are tough right now, but I really thought I would see it represented more in the burnt skin.
Hey, Ryan, it's Fred. Yeah. In person, it's very red.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah.
And that's face. That's not even the worst part. I'm telling you.
Have you done the thumb test yet where you, Fred, put your thumb on Ethan's forehead?
Yeah, come on over here, Fred. Come on.
See how long it takes for her to come back.
I'll take his word for it.
Well, good luck being that red for, I don't know, the next 6 months. It's going to take a long time for that tan to go away, I think. I still have tan lines from sitting outside watching my son's baseball game for too long, and it's been like, I don't know, at least 6 months since I've received those.
Yeah, but I don't tan. I burn. So I don't think
chameleon
it's going
to
take that long. It's going to be, I think it's going to be gone in the next 2 weeks.
Peeling like a snake, basically, is the next thing for you.
Yeah.
All right, let's do Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, today is National Milk Chocolate Day.
Oh.
I read it originally as Chocolate Milk Day.
Yeah, is there a difference?
Well, that's a good question. Here's what I'll say to that. We have so many different national, today is National Whatever Day. I would guess that they are different. I would assume.
Are you thinking like a Hershey bar?
That's what I think this is referring to.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
What do you like more, Fred? Milk chocolate or chocolate milk?
Chocolate milk.
Ryan?
Yeah, God, if you get a good chocolate milk, yes, give that to me.
I would agree with you all. I am more of a fan of chocolate milk. In fact, I just had some chocolate milk yesterday.
I did too.
Do you have it every day, Fred?
Really?
I try not to, but I think it's my go-to before bed.
I guess I've been told it's good to drink out for workout recovery.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why that is. It doesn't make sense to me, but there you go for that. If you are an American and do not travel internationally, this news may come to a shock to you, but a lot of stuff is really similar in other countries, but there are plenty of things that are also different for better or for worse. There's a forum currently online where people around the world are sharing non-American things that they highly recommend to Americans. So here's a couple of the things that are on this list. The number one thing, month-long vacations.
Oh, wow.
Or holidays, as they're called. America is work-obsessed, the people say, and it is one of the countries that offer the least amount of time or paid vacation days. I get on board with this, Fred.
A month long?
I mean, would you not
be? Job exists?
That's the question, right? Like, it's just, I guess it's just different in other cultures. Hmm. Other things on this list include taxes included in the price tag, not to mention service fees and tips. I'm a big fan of that. I hate one of the biggest pet peeves. You go on a third-party ticket sales website, SeatGeek, StubHub, all these, and the full price is not included. Drives me insane.
I've not bought some things because the service fee is just crazy.
I think SeatGeek might actually include it but some of them don't. You know, Ticketmaster, a bunch of these don't. So it is frustrating when you think you're paying a certain price, and then you get to the final page, and it's like, nope, it's actually $40 more.
Yeah. The tipping is going to be like that in the future, too. They're going to look at it, and they're going to say, remember?
Oh, I think we lost Ryan there for a second. He's going to have to reconnect, so he'll be able to tell us what to remember in a moment, but we'll keep moving on here. High-speed trains is on the list. Towel warmers in the bathroom. Heated floors instead of vented heat. I could get on board with that one. Let's see, what else is on here? Butter on sandwiches. That sounds like something that Americans would do, and everyone else would say, no, that's unhealthy. You guys are just being unhealthy Americans. And the last one, fresh squeezed juice machines in grocery stores. So a good list there of some different things. Ryan, you back with us?
Don't trust that. What, did it cut out?
I told you. I said it cut out. We didn't hear anything that you said, what we're supposed to remember.
Oh, that's weird. Well, I don't remember what I was saying. Sorry.
That checks out. We'll continue moving on in Ethan's news.
Can I tell you one thing that I thought would be on the list that wasn't?
Oh, sure. Maybe I missed it. Go for it.
Bidets. Did you say bidets?
I didn't. Okay. I only said there was 15 on the list, and I only said probably 7 of them. Bidets were on the list.
Oh, yeah, because I think the rest of the world loves bidets. I don't really understand why. But they love them.
Listen, Americans are just a little bit extra sensitive down there. That's all.
No, thanks. I don't want any of that spraying, you know, down there.
Ryan, a couple months ago, Marie and I went on a vacation to Japan, and bidets were, you know, obviously a way of life there. But another thing that I noticed was that they have the sound of rushing water in their public restrooms for people who are bladder shy and don't want anyone to hear them.
Oh,
and it seems to me like when I was at the Cardinals game last week, in one of the men's rooms, there was just a soundtrack of rushing water.
Stop it.
Well,
no way.
Unless there was a plumbing problem.
See, here's what I don't
going on.
Here's what I don't understand.
In one of the bathrooms.
When you're in public, people don't know you. So why does it matter? If you're at work, right. I get it. You know, if you're around people, it's like, oh, that guy, you know, ugh, yikes. But if you're around people you're never going to see again, who cares? Whatever. Anyway, according to a new poll, Americans spend nearly half of their entire day online between work, jobs and tasks, entertainment, and socials. Here's how that breaks down. The average American spends more than 10 hours a day online. 5.4 of those hours are spent on work, reading emails, paying bills, browsing, gaming, and looking at social media. And they spend the other 5 hours streaming entertainment, watching movies, shows, videos. 55% of them use their TV to stream content, followed by 25% who mostly use computers and tablets, and 20% who use their phones. Given, I don't know, would you guys say that that's pretty accurate for you guys? 10 hours a day? Fred, I know you and I were on computers all day.
Yeah, I'm on computers pretty much all day. Yeah,
I would say it's probably
over. I don't stream that much.
I would say it's probably over 10 hours a day for me.
Yeah,
I would say it's probably more close to 14. Ryan,
I would say for me it's more like 22 and a half hours a day I'm on a screen. It feels like it, at least, because the work's the screen. I get home, more screens. Everything's a screen anymore. Like, refrigerators are screens anymore. Everything's a screen.
My friend, do you sleep?
Yes, with a screen. I sleep on a screen. My bed's a screen. And my pillow's a screen. And the blanket's a screen. Everything's a screen today.
I think this is getting a little bit out of hand with the, with the screens up in Detroit. Given all the time that Mario risked his life in order to save Princess Peach, can we all assume that they are probably, you know, at least boyfriend and girlfriend, some romantic interest there? Can we agree?
I hope so.
Yes? Well, we're all wrong. According to a recent update on the Nintendo Today app, this is quoted, Princess Peach and Mario are good friends and help each other out whenever they can. Are you kidding me? I was irate reading this.
How can you say that about fictitious characters?
I felt like I was lied to my entire childhood with this.
What's the point? I mean, if you're Mario, at some point you're like, this is some other guy's problem. No, seriously, if you're Mario, you're like, I'm risking my life out here. This is some other dude's problem, not mine.
There's no word why Nintendo is making this announcement now, given that they've presented Mario and Peach as a couple in the past.
Yeah, that is weird. Did they break up? They just, they don't have little kids?
Yeah, something must have happened off screen, off
little
camp,
paisanos?
Off gameplay, you know, heartbreaking stuff. Oh, God. Mario and Peach.
Okay. Let me just tell you something. Ethan, if you told me this, if you're like, every day I drive into work and I save this girl's life, every single day, and I don't know how many times I've been shot doing it, but I'm still alive, I would say to you, you have to stop. Like, there's someone else has to deal with this. Call police. Call the FBI. Call the National Guard, because you have to stop putting your life online for some random girl.
Yeah, come Doesn't on. Superman do that all the time?
He's well, got yeah, the girl. He's got Lois Lane. They're a thing.
But he saves other people too, I guess. Okay, I take your point. Sometimes it's the right thing to do. But if okay. Superman was like tied up with one person every day, even he would be like, all right, I think the monster's getting you this time.
We have some good news today. Joan Bongiovanni isn't just any lifeguard. He's 75 years old, and he's been guarding the beaches in Asbury Park, New Jersey for almost 60 years. It started as a way for him to earn some extra cash back in 1968. But it's now turned into a lifelong career. He's become so important to the beach that he's trained generations of lifeguards to save lives. Joe shares here that his job is to prevent lifeguards from having to rescue people in the water.
Lifeguarding is 90% prevention. Okay? We don't want to make a million rescues. We want to keep people out of trouble.
Isn't that a cool story?
It is.
75-year-old lifeguard since 1968. My dad was 3 years old in 1968, for anyone that was wondering.
No, that's a bad idea. Yeah. You need a lifeguard for the lifeguard. There's no way his heart's going to keep up with that much longer. That's a lot of exercise to pull someone from the water.
Happy birthday to Soulja Boy, who is 35 years old today. Afro Man is 51. It would have been Jackie Kennedy's birthday as well. Of course, she passed away in 1994. On this day in history, here as we begin to wrap up Ethan's news. 157 years ago today in 1968, the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was declared in effect, of course, guaranteeing due process of law. In 1896, the city of Miami was incorporated. In 1943, President Franklin Roosevelt announced the end of coffee rationing. In 1945, U.S. Army bomber crashed into the 79th floor of the Empire State Building, killing 14 people. And one final, in 1973, the biggest rock festival in history took place in Watkins Glen, New York. 600,000 people watched Grateful Dead, the Allman Brothers, and the band. We now wrap up Ethan's news with our random fact of the day. There are 117 colleges whose sports team nicknames is the Eagles. The Hawks is second most common with 107 schools, followed by the Lions, Tigers, Cougars, Bulldogs, then Panthers and Bears. And that is nice. Ethan's news today.
We're going to get to your Fox Business coming up. On 97.1 FM Talk, joining us now is a heritage scholar and expert on fiscal policy, Richard Stern. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
So, are the tariffs working?
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, so it's important to remember here that tariffs in the long run harm your consumers and your manufacturers. But if you use them in the short run as a tool of negotiation, look what you can do. And Trump is certainly the negotiator in chief.
short versus long, though. I think in some ways he is looking at some of these in a long way, meaning that we're trying to shake things up in a way where the United States isn't the only one that has tariffs put onto their products. So there are some long-term ramifications for the tariffs, but he's trying to tip it into the scale of benefiting America. And do you think he's accomplishing that?
I think he certainly is. And to your point on that, what I mean is you don't want to leave tariffs around for a long time. You want to use them to get wins that, yes, will last for generations, but you want to use them to get other wins. And that's exactly what he's done here. Europe's going to buy, you know, $750 billion of American coal, oil, and gas, buy $600 billion of American military hardware so that they can defend themselves, but give that money to our manufacturers to do it. And that's just the beginning of the process here. But, you know, it's also about boxing out China and reinsuring that global commercial affairs run through the United States.
All right. So how does China play into all this? Do you think China is going to play ball, or do you think this is going to be a much longer, harder nut to crack?
Well, so China is a hard nut to crack, and they always are. But I think it's interesting that they're already caving. Look, we've already seen them start exporting critical minerals to U.S. manufacturers that they had held on to for a long time. And that's one of a bunch of things that they've already caved a little bit on. But, you know, at the end of the day, most of the world wants the work of the U.S. The only way that China could win in the long run is if they could have slowly gotten everybody to realign with China and away from the U.S. And part of what's going on for the last 13 years is they've been succeeding at doing that. Trump, for the first time, has said, enough. We're not going to let you do that. And he started using these trade deals and frameworks to try to reroute everybody away from China and to refocus global affairs on the U.S. And if he can succeed the way he has, that will stop China dead in the tracks.
You know, and I kind of feel disappointed that more countries didn't see this as their opportunity to also stand up to China. I know some of them are probably deadly afraid of upsetting them, knowing that they rely on China. But at least the United States is in a position to wean ourselves off of them as a country, which kind of gives us some leverage. And wouldn't that not be a good thing for the United States to start? This is what I thought back in the pandemic era in 2020, we started looking at our supply chain and realized it was probably not wise of us to have so much of our materials and medicines made in places like China when we can't get to it or there's some kind of cutoff point. So we said, okay, maybe it'd be good to bring back some of this manufacturing and build it here in the United States. But we didn't learn our lesson all these years past. We were kind of slow because things started going back to normal. Maybe this could be a wake-up call to say, okay, finally, we're going to do this. We'll do with companies like GE mentioned. They're going to bring more jobs back into the United States. It doesn't have to just be auto companies that are going to look at manufacturing, at least Canada, Mexico, United States. But it could be all industries saying, we're just done with this uncertainty with China.
Oh, and I think you're right about that. We have to remember, though, that long before China declared war on the U.S. manufacturer, the EPA did. Washington, D.C. has regulated our manufacturing to death. You know, regulations right now on U.S. manufacturers total more than $30,000 a year per worker in a U.S. manufacturing firm. For small manufacturers, it's more than $50,000 a year. No wonder it's so hard to manufacture in the U.S. And so you're absolutely right that it served as a wake-up call to decouple from China, that countries around the globe are seeing an opportunity here to decouple from China because Trump wants to make a global trade regime with the U.S. at the center. But at the end of the day, that's only one side of the barriers. We got to stop putting the spotted owl and its habitat above the needs of American middle-class workers. Until we can deal with our regulations, until Europe and our allies can stop chasing green new scams and you know, net zero carbon emissions, until we can do all that, you can't get all the pieces of the puzzle together to reindustrialize. You've got to take down both the foreign issues and China, but domestic regulations and these misplaced environmental regulations.
Yeah, I think it starts with getting rid of some of these subsidies, and I think Donald Trump's doing a great job with that. A lot of these industries only exist because of government subsidies, and they're not being backed by the interest, the demand that's driven for them, at least through the American consumer, because they'll no way ever want to pay the price point needed if those subsidies didn't exist. But even if that's the case, a lot of these companies just take the money and run anyway. They don't actually produce the things that they're supposed to produce. So let's say you take that off the equation. Isn't that enough? You think just taking the subsidies away pretty much kills a lot of these different incentives of people trying to say, okay, now we have to choose between the spotted owl and the middle class. We're picking the middle class.
So I think the subsidies are a massive pillar of it. And I think you've identified that exactly properly. But you still have to deal with permitting regulations. So I'll give you a perfect tragic thing here, which is that if you look at all mining oil gas extraction in the U.S., all of it in terms of volume of production, we're only a little bit ahead of where we were in 1972. And the truth is, almost all of that is the fracking revolution in the U.S. Now, it's not that our mines are bad or miners, or it's exclusively federal regulations. And in fact, we stopped producing as much electricity, and that's, you see that in Europe, where electricity costs have tripled in the last decade. For us, we slowed the growth of new electricity online about 30 years ago. And all of it can be traced right back to those regulations we're talking about. So even if I get rid of the subsidies, even if we deal with foreign issues and all these trade things, you know, if I can't get a permit to break ground on a new mine, processing plant, or other factory, well, then you just literally can't build it here. And that is, I think, the untold story as well. That's the other pillar of how the left and D.C. bureaucrats have slowly choked industry in this country.
Okay. Richard Stearns joining us, a Heritage Scholar and expert on fiscal policy. By the way, if people wanted to look up your work online, where can they go?
Well, you can go to heritage.org and find everything I write and that of my entire team. You can find me at Rich A. Stern on X, formerly Twitter, of course, as well. You know, thank you for having me on the talk about all this.
Yep. Going back to tariffs, I just wanted to make sure we got that out there. We still have a couple more minutes, I hope. But going back to the tariffs and something with the EU and the UK and all these different countries that are starting to play ball, at least in that sense, Donald Trump said, we can't make 200 separate deals. It's just we just don't got time for that. So he just wants a blanket tariff. What do you think about the United States just setting that standard blanket tariff and rolling with it? Do you think that'll be effective?
Well, I think it's effective at bringing people to the negotiating table. And I think it's had the effect, and you see this with the EU, of bringing a lot of these countries as one giant meeting in the room together. So as you're talking about, not doing 200 separate deals, but doing a few deals, maybe even one giant deal framework that every country can sign on to. I would say this, though. It's important to remember that if, at the end of the day, we just left a universal tariff in place, that tariff makes it harder to do business in the U.S. You know, 60% of our imports are actually imported by U.S. businesses in their production chain, a lot of those manufacturers. So, again, I think it's great if you're trying to bring countries to the table to hold them accountable for their bad practices, to hold them accountable for things they've done to take advantage of American workers. But just leaving it in place in the long run, not addressing their bad tactics, doesn't solve the problem.
You know, there's a couple of things that have happened recently that kind of shocked me. Can I play a clip for you and get your reaction to it?
Absolutely.
This is Bill Maher recently and making headlines today, discussing the tariff situation. Ethan, if you can play clip number one. I think he's got it right there. Maybe. But basically, okay, we could do the gist of it. That's okay. But Bill Maher, this is clip number one.
I would have thought, and I got to own it, that that these tariffs were going to sink this economy by this time, and they didn't.
Okay, so basically he's coming out and saying he was wrong. I got to own it when it comes to tariffs. That's probably a healthy thing that people come out and admit they were wrong. But there was a lot of analysts that came out originally and said this was going to crash the economy by 4th of July. They were completely wrong about it. We're looking at record territories here. So what do you think the people that were critics should learn about tariffs? What's the lesson here?
Well, again, you know, they were looking at it as tariffs were just going to be imposed. You know, originally Trump was talking about 30-40% tariffs on some countries. And these analysts thought, well, he's going to impose the tariffs and then just walk away, and that was going to be the end of it. But what they missed about this was what Bessent was saying and other people, which is that the tariffs were a tool of negotiation. So the trade deals that Trump's getting, the concessions from other countries that they're going to stop their bad practices, All of that is buoying the U.S. economy right now, and the analysts miss that. They forgot that Trump is the negotiator-in-chief, and they thought the tariffs were the beginning and the end. They didn't realize that it was the opening move in a grand negotiation chess game where Trump is looking at getting other things as victories.
Yeah, and part of it you find that, you know, he's coming in, new administration. Is it going to look different than the first? He kind of had this reputation of having the economy grow up until COVID, but things were looking great in the way that he decided the decisions he made to help it grow. And I think they kind of lost a little confidence. Hopefully they regain that confidence in his direction. I think maybe that could be part of the lesson. All right, Richard Stern, by the way, if people, again, want to find you on Heritage or other places, where can they look?
Again, thank you for having me on. You can find me at Rich A. Stern on X, and you can go to heritage.org, and you can go to the economy section or budget, find all the stuff that I write, my team writes. And again, you know, we appreciate being able to come on and talk about the news of the day.
Great. Heritage scholar and expert on fiscal policy, Richard Stern. Again, thank you for joining us here in St. Louis. And coming up after the break, we're going to be joined by KSDK Sports Director Frank Cusimano, and always an awesome time talking with him. He is so cool, and there's a lot going on, too, so this will be a good conversation. Next, I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon, 97.1.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
on FM Talk. Joining us now, KSDK Sports Director Frank Cusimano. Thank you for coming on.
Brian, great to be with you. Hope you're doing well, sir.
I am trying. Now, keep in mind, I'm here in Detroit. The Tigers have been a real rough go-around since the All-Star break. So I have to look at the Cardinals here and realize that they are making some pretty big moves. What's going on in left field there?
Well, I love the move. We were kind of shocked. We thought it may have been an error, but then we got it confirmed. I just left the ballpark. Ivan Herrera is going to start in left field. This is a guy who is a lifelong catcher who's been very carefully monitored after he's had some hamstring issues and done a lot of DHing, hasn't caught in a while. So we just talked to him. He hasn't played left field since he was 14 years old. He's been training for about a week and a half. He's going to borrow a teammate's glove, Jose Fermin, who plays some outfield, to play his first big league game. But with all of that said, I love the freaking idea, Ryan, because Cardinals haven't had an all-star outfielder since like the Middle Ages. It was actually Alan Craig. And This is the best offensive player on the team. He has a nearly 900 OPS. This season is probably shot. I'd play him every day in left field and make him a full-time left fielder, because why do the Cardinals have to be the only organization in baseball that can't have an outfielder hit 25 home runs? I think he's reasonably athletic. He was an okay catcher. He just couldn't throw. But I think he has great hand-eye coordination, so he should be fine. Your best offensive player, stick him out in left field and make him a full-time left fielder.
Frank, Ethan here. You know, you look at this lineup, and we've talked about this. There's so much redundancy. There's so many guys that seem like they're the same guy as far as, you know, what they can do. And Ivan Herrera, to a certain extent, fits into that up to this point, right? Because there's so many guys that, you know, seem to profile right now, at least, best for the DH spot. Now, there's still plenty of logjam in the outfield, but it is interesting to see the Cardinals electing, you know, a team that is, you know, leaned on the side of being conservative with moves like this, for them to jump to it so quickly. Like you said, when he's only been, you know, getting reps out there for a week and a half, what do you think overall about the messaging that shows that the Cardinals are willing to make such a drastic change like this after in such little time?
Well, it's bold with a capital B. There's no doubt about it. But, Ethan, do we kind of know who Lars Nufar is? He's like an average outfielder who doesn't steal bases, who has a little bit of power, and who's hurt a lot, okay? So I say let's put the guy out there now and find out if he can play the position. And I know it seems drastic, but what are we really playing for this season? We're 3.5 games out of the third wild card spot. I mean, why should we be the only team without a dynamic offensive player, you know, in the outfield? And I'm telling you, he is a dynamic offensive player. I know the home run numbers are not great, but that's mainly because he's hurt. When you see an OPS around 900 and he's only 25 and he hit 300 last year, he's hitting 300 this year, this guy can hit, man. And if he can handle this and be reasonable out there, I think it's a good move.
Is Nolan Arenado still a Cardinal after the trade deadline?
I think so, Ryan, because I don't think there's going to be many teams that are going to take him. You know, he's got this enormous contract, and it's being paid by the Rockies and by the Cardinals. And if a team picks him up, that's a third team. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the great people I've ever met, but I just don't think you'll be able to find a taker. Plus, he's got a no trade. It's like he and Sonny Gray would seemingly be likely trade candidates, but they have a no trade. And some guys at the end of their careers just don't want to up and move, you know, in late July.
Trade deadline, as mentioned just a moment ago, coming up here in a couple of days. And there have been some different names that have been thrown out there potentially. And one of them that has gauged some interest on the trade market has been Brendan Donovan. I don't think there's any secret that Brendan Donovan has been the best player for this Cardinals team overall in 2025. He's in a unique spot, though, where he still has some team control, but he's 28, and if you're going to extend him, you probably need to extend him now. But if you are to extend him, then the final years of his career are going to be played in his early to mid-30s, which isn't tends to be right beyond the prime. So let me ask you this. The Cardinals, the ask is apparently sky high. How legitimately do you think or would you be entertaining these offers for Brendan Donovan, or is he a guy that you're looking at and you're saying he needs to be the guy that I'm building around for the future?
Yeah, well, I don't wake up every morning thinking, hey, let's trade Brendan Donovan. Sure. Let's trade our best player. That doesn't make sense. But when you're going to be playoffless again, everybody is on the market. I mean, everybody is tradable in this organization right now. Now, the Astros, they seemingly want a guy who could either play second base or left field, and Altuve will move according to the player they bring in, and they normally have great prospects. What I would do, though, is I would keep Brendan Donovan. I would sign him long-term. But one thing you don't want to do is, like, I think when they have control over him at least one more year, you don't want him to leave in a year. You either move him or you sign him long-term because he's a really good player. But here's the thing. He cannot be your best player if you're a playoff team. He is your only all-star. And if Brendan Donovan is your best player, I think that speaks volumes about the team, even though I think he's a terrific player.
Mm. By the way, what are you working on for this weekend's program?
Well, you know what we're going to do? Josh Schertz, the very successful basketball coach at SLU, who will be, is also an avid pickleball player. So we are going to be playing pickleball and conducting the interview while we are playing pickleball. We're going to have a bunch of cameras, and we're going to have some fun with it.
Are you surprised the popularity of pickleball? Everyone seems to love it.
It's insane. My wife plays 5 days a week. I play maybe once a week. It is good. You know, if you have any, like, hand-eye coordination or you played racquetball, tennis, or ping pong, you're, like, instantly mediocre. Then if you work on your game, you get pretty good. It is a great game. It's a good workout.
I don't know how good Josh Schertz is. What I can tell you is that Frank is good, and I've seen it himself, and he's kicked my butt in pickleball before. So good luck to Josh Schertz this upcoming week facing off against Frank. One final question here about the Cardinals and the trade deadline. There was some really big news that came out today with the Cleveland Guardians closer Emmanuel Clase, and there's under investigation as far as perhaps some involvement in a gambling situation, betting over play, and you can share a little bit more information about that. But also, with him potentially not being able to be traded now at this upcoming trade deadline, it seems like Ryan Helsley could be the top relief pitcher on this market now. Frank, could you explain that whole situation?
Well, you know, the details are still coming in, but when Major League Baseball does the suspending and not the Guardians, that's when you know it's serious business. So, yeah, he's not going to play baseball again this year, and he may not play again forever. Wow. So I don't know how guys can do that. It's pretty clear what you can and can't do, and one thing you can't do is gamble in baseball. But you know what? Great minds think alike, Ethan, because you and I should have been thinking about this young man, but instead we were thinking about how that increases the trade value of Ryan Helsley. So you're right. There's like three or four middle of the road teams that have closers that can be moved. But I think Helsley, especially with the way he's pitching now, is the most attractive.
Great. Frank Cusumano, KSDK Sports Director. Check out his show this weekend. And thank you for joining us here, Frank. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Frank.
Ryan and Ethan, good to be with you. Thank you.
Joining us after the break is Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator here from Missouri. We're going to get his thoughts on some issues that are going on around the world. A lot of big ones. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay,
Your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.